Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great, Stephen. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Good to be here with you.
Yeah, great to be here on Sunday night, reading God's Word and studying. And if you've been with us the last couple of shows, we've been doing some kind of hard, painful stuff about judgment and desolation and land being defiled and exile, you know, all that kind of stuff. Not easy thing to think about. Nobody wants their land to be desolate and defiled.
Yeah. It's your typical hear and obey message from God.
Yeah, exactly. And the first week, we used as an example the prophet Amos, who went to Bethel and said, I'm paraphrasing now.
He's like one of the best prophets in the whole.
Yeah, he's awesome. And he says, you guys have really messed this up. You're not worshiping right. You're doing idolatry. This whole place is a disaster, and it's all going to be trashed. And they said, ah, get out of here, you. What do you know?
What a bummer.
Yeah. He said, can't you tell us something happy? And, you know, we got the priests here. We got the king here. So why don't you go back to wherever you came from and loosen up a little bit? So then, of course, God's patience ran out with the northern kingdom, and the Assyrians invaded, took over the land, exiled the people, just like God predicted, and just like he spoke through Amos about what was going to happen. Then last week, we used the example of the prophet Jeremiah in the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah, prophesying against Jerusalem just before the Babylonian exile. And it was kind of the same thing. Jeremiah went, told the people God was displeased, that they were turning to idolatry, they weren't doing the right worship, they weren't following the laws, the commandments. And the priest said, we don't know who you are, Jeremiah, but we're the priests. We got all the cool stuff here. We got the temple. We got the king sitting over here. So who do you think you are telling us this kind of bad stuff? So we don't want to hear you anymore.
I see a pattern developing.
Yeah. And they threw him in a cistern, and then they got him out. But eventually, not too long after that, the Babylonians swept in and destroyed the place. And the land was desolate. The city was in a ruin. And then Jeremiah wrote the book of Lamentations, which if you've never read it, you should read it, because it's just really a heartbreaking, sad story about this once beautiful city, which has now just been destroyed.
Yeah.
And again, it was an example of God's patience ran out.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously where we're going with this, and I don't know how many more weeks it's going to be, but eventually we're going to get to what Jesus said about it. And of course, we're trying to apply this to the times we live in,
mm-hmm.
that God's patience eventually runs out.
Right.
And it's not only a matter of the United States or Europe or Canada, I mean, whatever country you name, it's judgment coming on all those places.
Right.
That sort of follow these same patterns.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's not about a particular, you know, what you said is true. It's not a particular nation or government, or there's a lot of people that are not following God's way, but
mm-hmm.
you know, if those who are called by my name, mm-hmm. not my name but God's name, if those who are called by, he says, if those who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and repent, I will heal their land.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're called to do as believers. The church, the assembly, whatever term you want to use to call it, for gathering of God's people, we have a responsibility still to follow God's laws and decrees.
Mm-hmm.
That has not changed.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do that, we're in union with God.
Mm-hmm.
We find favor and protection with God.
Mm-hmm.
But when we abandon God's laws and his ways, and we go our own way, And this is what a lot of people have done, then God's favor is not with us. Mm-hmm. God's hand of protection is not with us. Mm-hmm. And we will, you know, it's more or less like the parable of the son who went and squandered his inheritance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want everything that is mine right now. And the prodigal son. Mm-hmm. And he comes back, he comes to his senses, and the father just welcomes him with open arms. Mm-hmm. And that's what God's going to do to us.
Yes.
If we come to our senses.
Yes.
You know?
And in our day, we've used examples, and we're going to use another example today, of God applying this to his chosen people, to the covenant mm-hmm. people. And as you pointed out the last couple of weeks, which I still have been thinking about, God didn't hesitate. Well, I shouldn't say didn't hesitate, but he destroyed his temple.
Yes.
You know, the Temple Mount, God says the Temple Mount is the place where I put my name.
Right.
It's the holiest place on earth. And God destroyed the temple, not once, but twice.
Right.
Because of this. And we're going to get to the second destruction when we talk about what Jesus foretold about it.
Not a stone left standing.
Right. But in our time, we have to look at this as the body of Christ, the body of the Messiah, the mm-hmm. Christian churches. How many churches have fallen away, and how many people have gone astray, and how many people have become more like the world than mm-hmm. the world becoming more like the church. And people have said, oh, well, none of that matters. The God I believe in would never do anything like that.
Yeah.
The God I believe in would never send anyone to hell. Everybody's right. All that stuff is 3,000 years old. That doesn't mean anything anymore.
Yeah.
And we hear this on and on and on.
Yeah, I hear that too.
And
yeah.
we see Christian denominations that have traditionally been conservative, Bible-based churches now becoming more and more and more and more liberal. Mm-hmm. And this is exactly what happened in these two situations that we already discussed.
You can go to Revelation and look at the letters to the churches.
Exactly.
They became lukewarm.
Exactly.
And what the Lord says, you know.
And ultimately, and I hope we get to this next week, but who knows, it might be the following week. But we are in the position of these prophets because we are here now. Mm-hmm. We're the faithful remnant. We've been created to be here at this time.
Right.
Jeremiah was there at his time. Amos was there at his time. Ezekiel, which we're going to talk about today, was here at the same time as Jeremiah. We're here now.
Right.
And we're here in the 21st century telling the body, telling the churches, hey, we can't stray from God's law. We can't stray from the commandments.
Right.
This is wrong. This is wrong. We can't justify all these things and still mm-hmm. say we're following the Lord.
Yeah. I think a lot of people tend to think that, you know, I wouldn't be led astray.
Oh, sure. And, yeah.
And, you know, if you look at a river, you know, it starts out maybe as a stream, and downstream it gets a little bit bigger mm-hmm. and then a little bit bigger, a little bit deeper. Mm-hmm. And if you're ever in the current of a river and you feel the force of it, mm-hmm. it can take you away pretty quickly without you even putting up much of a fight.
Yes.
And that's a lot of similarities to our spiritual life mm-hmm. is that the current of our society can really just drag us to a place that we're like, wait, how did I get here?
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
You know, I used to believe this and I believe this, but you know, if you don't have a prayer life, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, mm-hmm. you're going to wander astray.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. it's no different than a shepherd with his sheep. You know, if the sheep runs off on out of that pasture, he's gone astray.
Yeah, exactly. And St. Paul said that to the earliest church. Mm-hmm. As soon as I leave here, there's going to be false teachers are going to come in.
Yeah.
Like wolves.
Because the devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy.
And they're going to lead you astray. And now we have false teachers, not only in a building, but we have them on television, we have them on the internet,
all over the
place. We have them on the radio, but not this radio show.
Exactly.
This radio show is Bible-based.
Yes.
And if we're not, just, you know, stop listening or call in or
I'll
give you Steve's number later.
Yeah,
but,
thanks.
But, you know, we can be led astray on multiple levels now, way more than the people in Galatia or Rome or mm-hmm. Corinth could be by some false teacher who comes in. Because we're, you know, Paul talks about we want teachers to tell us what our itching ears want to hear.
Right.
So if somebody says, oh, God wants you to be rich and have a nice car and have a nice house, you say, wow, yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. It would be nice if everybody told you that they loved you all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Exactly. Or if somebody says, you know, this, that, or the other thing that you happen to fall into or you happen to be in favor of, you say, mm-hmm, yes, that's right.
Right.
And these teachers will be held in a very strict judgment, as he says in the book of James, because they can lead people astray.
Right.
And a person who's pastoring a congregation is in a very important position where if he right. leads 1,000 people astray,
he has to answer
for that more right. so than if he just leads himself astray.
Right.
And we're in a similar time mm-hmm. as these other prophets were.
Right.
But we're the prophets now.
Yeah,
we're the faithful remnant. The yeah. voice is fading out.
Yeah.
All you have to do is put the television on.
Yeah.
All you have to do is listen to what people at work are saying. Oh, nobody believes that anymore. Or, you know,
yeah.
that can't possibly be right. You know, what, I don't understand that.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, stand at the water cooler and ask them about if they thought about their salvation over the weekend.
That's right. Yeah, it's a good Monday morning conversation at work when you say, do you realize you're a miserable sinner who stands condemned? They go, no, I'm pretty nice.
I think you start out with, you brood of vipers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Use the John the Baptist approach. Anyway, let's go to Ezekiel.
Okay.
Now, Ezekiel was, he's a contemporary with Jeremiah. He comes at the time of the Babylonian exile. Now, we're not going to do a lot of history, but after the warnings of Jeremiah, the Babylonians came in, they took over the city, they took some people into exile, including the prophet Ezekiel. Jeremiah stayed in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And so when Ezekiel's writing this, he's actually in Babylon, but there are still people in the city. There's still people in Jerusalem. There's still people in Israel that he's writing to. And he gets caught up in the spirit, and he sees visions of what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. He sees visions of the glory leaving the temple, we're going to talk about in a minute. And the total destruction of the city comes because they still don't listen to what he's saying. Even though the city's been occupied by a foreign power, they still continue with their idolatry and wrongdoing. And so then the total destruction comes.
Yeah.
And we're going to start in Ezekiel chapter 2. Stephen, if you can read from the beginning through verse 8, this kind of sets the stage for what Ezekiel's going
to
do.
Okay. The voice said to me, "Son of man, stand up. I wish to speak to you." As he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard the one who was speaking say to me, "Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, a nation of rebels, who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have been in revolt against me to this very day. Their children are bold of face and stubborn of heart. To them I am sending you. You shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God,' and whatever you hear or resist, they are a rebellious house. They shall know that a prophet has been among them. But as for you, son of man, do not fear them or their words. Do not fear, even though there are briars or thorns, and you sit among scorpions. Do not be afraid of their words or be terrified by their looks, for they are a rebellious house. You must speak my words to them, whether they hear or resist, because they are rebellious. But you, son of man, hear me when I speak to you, and do not rebel like this rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I am giving you."
Yeah. Oof. Now, we're just going to quickly look through this. Okay, first of all, people say, well, the Holy Spirit is never mentioned in the Old Testament. Well, we see there, then the Spirit, capital S,
comes on
Ezekiel.
Look at that.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Wow.
So, you know, he gets his calling. You know, every prophet is called, mm-hmm. just like the apostles were called.
Yes.
You know, even Paul says, "I was called to be an apostle."
Right.
You know, you don't go someplace and say, "Oh, I'd like to be an apostle." Mm-hmm. And they say, well, you have to go talk to Peter, or you have to go here, fill out this form, and then, you know, we'll check it out and we'll have an interview or two, and then we'll decide. You know, the apostles are called.
Right.
Not everybody who followed Jesus was an apostle.
And they're called by God.
And they're called by God. Yeah. So here's Ezekiel being called. And he says, I'm sending you to the children of Israel, a rebellious nation that rebelled against me. Now, is he talking about Philistines?
Nope.
No. Is he talking about Babylonians?
Nope.
Is he talking about Romans?
Nope.
Is he talking about, you know, people in southern Africa?
Nope.
He's talking about his people.
Yeah.
He's talking about his covenant people, his chosen people. And he says, they're rebellious. Mm-hmm. They've rebelled against me.
Yeah.
Now, fast forward that to the year 2012, and we look at Christian people. You know, these are my people. Are they rebelling against me? You know, think about that. There's people that are rebelling against him that identify themselves as Christian. I mean, we're not talking about denomination, but Christian in general.
Right.
You will find them saying, well, I'm a Christian. I go to church. But they're in rebellion. God says, these are my people, and they're in rebellion, and they're transgressing against me even right now, even as we're talking. They're transgressing against me. And he says they're stubborn. And they're impudent. You know, no matter how many signs I show them, no matter what I do, no matter what my priests and my prophets say, they don't care.
Right.
They're stubborn. They're hard-hearted.
Yeah.
And that's where you're going to go. And you're going to go talk to this rebellious house. And they may refuse you, but when you leave, they're going to know that a prophet had been there.
Yeah.
Because you're going to go with my power. Mm-hmm. I'm the one who called you. I'm giving you this anointing. The Spirit falls on them. And they're going to know that a prophet has been there.
Right.
And you're going to encounter all kind of struggle. You know, he talks about briars and thorns and scorpions. But don't be afraid. You know, we go to a place, we're surrounded by briars and thorns and scorpions in that they're the other people around us.
Exactly.
But he says, don't be afraid of what they're going to say.
Yeah.
He says, you're going to speak my words. They're going to, you know, don't be dismayed by their looks. People are going to look at you like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Are you crazy? Mm-hmm. How can somebody like you, how could you believe that? That's silly. So, you know, don't worry about that. They're a rebellious house, but don't worry. Don't be afraid.
Right.
And then it's interesting. God gives them a scroll to eat. He says, fill your stomach with this. And he says it tasted really sweet like honey.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, it's God's word, even though it's a scary word he's given him, it's his word. So it was sweet like honey. And then he says, you know, we're just going to, you know, do a little paraphrasing here, but he says, you're going to familiar people, not strangers. You know, Jonah went to strangers. You know, Jonah, you know, God says, you're going to go to Nineveh, this great city. Right. Jonah says, I won't go to Nineveh. These people are weird.
I don't know anybody in Nineveh.
There's no good restaurants there. I don't know any friends there.
Yeah.
They're a bunch of losers. They got non-kosher restaurants. You know, they don't care about us, but he says, you're going to familiar people that are not strangers. They don't speak a strange language. They're not strangers. And, you know, if they listen to him, then everything's going to be okay. They're going to be listening to God.
Right.
And he says, I'm going to make you strong like stone. You're going to be like a flint. So don't be afraid.
Yeah.
When you go there, no matter what they say to you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. The first break already.
Yep. Paul's here.
Welcome back, Paul. Anyway, this is the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. Remember, giftofgraceministries.org. And you can also find us on Facebook. We'll be right back.
Judah roars, strongholds crumble all around us. You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, good evening and welcome back to The Gift of Grace. Before we go on with this lesson from the prophet Ezekiel, I want to talk to you just for a minute about an awesome organization which is called Love, Inc. Many of you may be familiar with it, but the Inc. stands for In the Name of Christ. It's Love in the Name of Christ, and it's, we call it Love, Inc., and it's an awesome organization that takes donations from individuals and especially from churches, with pastors and churches that have partnered with it, and they then help people who are in need. And it's a ministry outreach that partners with local churches, with volunteers, with community organizations, and through Love Inc., churches and Christians come together across denominational lines, and they really provide help to those facing dilemmas. And they give a lot of immediate aid, like food, clothing, even monetary assistance or whatever else. And if you're a pastor who's listening, you should consider getting in touch with Love, Inc. in order to partner with them. It's an awesome organization. And if you're interested in doing that, their phone number is 216-459-0405. And Jan Cipullo, who is the director of it, is just an awesome sister in the Lord who just does an amazing work. And after the next break, we're going to talk a little bit more about an event that they're doing coming up. But right now, we're getting back to Ezekiel.
Ezekiel.
Because he didn't even know about loving.
He was a good prophet.
I'm sure right now he likes it.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, the message of the prophet is always, or the work of the prophet is, it doesn't seem too glamorous, does it?
No.
No, it's not.
Well, you got to put up with a lot of rejection.
Yeah.
You know, it's even worse than us, you know, going to work and listening to people or listening to our family saying, oh, what a bunch of wackos you guys are. And I'm so used to that now that I tell people, you know, number one, I don't really care anymore what people think of me.
Yeah.
And number two is, you know, it's not, you know, I can't worry about it in the sense of it's going to be their problem, not my problem. Mm-hmm. In a simple way to put it, all I'm, you know, like Paul says in the first chapter of Romans, you know, I've been called to preach the gospel, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Yeah.
And if nobody wants to hear the gospel, well, I'm still going to preach it.
It's an important lesson in ministry, because if you really feel that you're being called to minister,
yeah,
and to minister to people,
yeah,
and you think that you're going to be liked and popular,
yeah,
if you're, yeah, speaking the truth.
If everybody likes you, you're probably not speaking the truth.
Yes, that's probably true. You're not, yeah, probably not speaking the truth.
Yeah. And Ezekiel gets this calling, and then in chapter 3, starting at verse 17, he says, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. And to paraphrase this, it's like, I'm going to tell you what to tell them. If they listen and they don't pay attention to you and then they're destroyed, you've done your job. But if you don't tell them what I'm going to tell you and they're destroyed, you're also going to be responsible. And this is an amazing thing, because we are exactly in that position. We go through our lives, and most of us are afraid to tell somebody what they're doing is wrong. We're afraid to tell somebody what they believe is not true.
They won't like us.
They won't like us anymore. And we say, well, maybe I shouldn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And according to this prophecy from Ezekiel in the third chapter, God is telling him, if you don't tell them what I tell you to tell them, you're going to be partly responsible for what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're supposed to give them the warning.
Yeah.
So that's a very powerful word, and it's really applies to us today, just like it applied to these people in Jerusalem just about the time the destruction was going to come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you bring it to a point where if you're getting a word for someone, and again, God always, you know, God's word is always going to give somebody the opportunity to turn back to him.
Yes.
if you're offering somebody a word of judgment or condemnation, chances are it's probably not from the Lord if there's no repentance or reconciliation with it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're offering somebody a word that God's giving you to speak to a person or to a people or mm-hmm. to a nation,
mm-hmm.
God doesn't want to, he doesn't rejoice in the destruction of the living.
Yes, that's right.
He does not rejoice in the destruction of his creation. So he's going to give us the opportunity to turn
mm-hmm.
and repent.
Yes.
But as we've been saying, once, you know, God's patience does run out
mm-hmm.
because people have a, you know, we have the freedom to choose.
Mm-hmm.
We can go our own way. And mm-hmm. he will leave our minds over to our own devices, our
That's
own
right.
thoughts.
That's right.
If you want that,
yeah.
okay.
He says in Romans chapter 1, our minds will be darkened
mm-hmm.
and you become, you know, you profess yourself to be wise, but you become a fool.
Right.
Yeah. Very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly what's happening here. And he says to Ezekiel, you know, there's going to be a siege of the city. Mm-hmm. These people aren't going to listen.
Yeah.
Because they're stubborn. They're yeah. impudent. They're not going to listen to you, but don't worry. As long as you tell them what I tell you and they don't listen, it's not on you. It's on them. There's going to be a siege of the city.
Yeah.
They're going to build ramparts around it. You know, Jesus talks about that later.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to build ramparts around the city and they're going to siege it. And there's not going to be one stone left on another.
Right.
This is the first time that it happened now is mm-hmm. when Ezekiel and Jeremiah were prophesying it. And God says, you're going to set your face against them because yeah. you're going to tell them, I'm speaking for the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, this is going to be the word that I'm going to give them. If they don't listen, then they're going to pay the consequences. And one of the consequences they're going to pay, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, that actually comes from Deuteronomy chapter 29, as the offenses get worse and the punishment gets worse, eventually the people will be exiled. And in chapter Ezekiel 4, verse 13, it says, the Lord said, so shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles where I will drive them.
Yeah.
So things are going to get so bad that city's going to be sieged and the people are going to be exiled.
Yeah.
And they're going to be eating defiled food in a land of strangers in a place where they don't want to be.
Yeah.
And we talked about Psalm 137 last week too, that, you know, when they get there and the Babylonians say, hey, why don't you like sing us some songs from Zion?
Yeah.
They go, oh, we can't do it.
And they're, yeah, sing us some, you know, sing us, they hung their yeah. harps up.
Yeah.
And they're asking to be, you know, to be singing songs. You know, and we've talked the last couple of weeks about our own country and where we stand.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a lot of voices out there saying, you know, we've got this mountain of debt. Can we keep on doing this? Oh, don't worry.
Yeah,
we'll,
that doesn't matter.
Things will be fine. Things will be fine. You hear people that have concerns. There's voices that are speaking out and saying, stop. Stop.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong direction. No, don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
Our economists told us it's okay. Oh, don't worry. The brightest, the best, the most intelligent people have said,
mm-hmm.
no, really, we've, you know, the brightest and best have yeah. kind of gotten us into this situation.
Yeah. And just like our national sin of abortion.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's a woman's choice. You yeah. know, that's, you know, no, but you can't tell a woman what to do.
Things of the laws and the decrees of God have been politicized.
Right.
It's not a political fight. It's really a moral issue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we have been tricked in this country to think that it's a political issue.
Yeah.
And it's been turned into a divisive issue that divides us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what Satan wants.
Yeah, of course.
He wants to divide the kingdom. He mm-hmm. wants to divide the people so that there is no, you know, coming together and glorifying God.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to be fighting amongst
mm-hmm.
each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you see a lot of.
Yeah, that's right. And the thing is these people that we're talking about and the people that Amos was talking to
mm-hmm.
didn't think destruction was going to come.
Right.
The people now that we talk to, and we're not talking about, oh, if you don't do this, destruction is going to come. We're just talking about turning back.
Mm-hmm.
Turn back to the law. Turn back to the Lord. Turn back to the commandments. Turn back to what you're supposed to be doing.
Right.
Say, oh, who cares? they don't realize that there's going to be consequences. Mm-hmm. But if you want to go to Ezekiel chapter 6 and we read 2 through 7,
okay,
this is what God says to the people who are his people.
Okay. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, set your face toward the mountain of Israel and prophesy against them. You shall say, mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord of God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains and hills, to the ravines and valleys, pay attention. I am bringing a sword against you, and I will destroy your high places. Your altars shall be laid waste. Your incense stands smashed, and I will throw your slain down in front of your idols. Yes, I will lay the corpses of the Israelites in front of their idols and scatter your bones around your altars. Wherever you live, cities shall be ruined and high places laid waste, in order that your altars be laid waste and devastated, your idols broken and smashed, your incense altars hacked to pieces, and whatever you have made white, and whatever you have made wiped out.
Mm. This is judgment on the land.
Wow.
This is, he's prophesying to the mountains.
Yeah.
Oof. This is different than the Paul Wilbur song. Mm-hmm. About prophesying to the mountains.
Yeah.
This is a bad different. Prophecy.
Yeah.
This is, you know, you guys are my people. This is my land, but my patience has run out. And so I'm bringing a sword. He says, I'm going to bring the worst of the Gentiles. You know, back in the prophet Isaiah, God says to Cyrus the king, you don't know me. You don't know who I am, but I'm arming you and you're going to go against my people. Mm-hmm. I'm going to remove every obstruction out of your way and you're going to attack my people. You know, these pagan Gentiles were being used to judge the people, to bring punishment to the people.
Yeah.
And I think we saw that on 9/11 of 01.
Mm-hmm.
We had foreigners come and inflict a horrible judgment on this country.
Right.
Maybe that was the first of the judgments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then the economy collapsed a few years later. And,
right.
You know, and if you've read the book, The Remnant, you know what I'm talking about is these judgments mm-hmm. are going to go on as we turn farther and farther away from God.
And, you know, if you really understand that there's a consequence to behavior,
mm-hmm.
if you have a lot of greed, you have a consequence to that.
Yeah, exactly.
And the economy is, the results of the economy is based on that there's a lot of greed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, plain and simple, yeah. There's a lot of greed. People may not agree with that,
mm-hmm.
but if you're, I guess I've seen it with my own eyes, where I've been in positions where I've seen that greed and mm-hmm. take hold of people yeah. that are making decisions to,
sure,
you know, beef up their bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
And while there's nothing wrong with a profit, if you're greedy mm-hmm. and you make practices where you can then make more because you're bending and stretching sure. the foundation of what
sure.
you're at,
yeah.
you're going beyond what's normal.
And that can happen in any business.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you say, well, everybody's doing it.
Yeah. And then you end up with a big yes. mess. How do we get here?
Right. And the way they justify it is everyone does that. So mm-hmm. what?
Yeah.
And very few people that sit and say, that's not ethical, that's not right, so I'm not going to do it.
Right.
Because you're tempted by the money.
Mm-hmm.
The people are tempted by the money. And we, especially as Americans, think our money and our stuff is going to be our protection.
Yeah.
So, you know, who needs a savior? We got money, we got stuff.
Yeah.
And Ezekiel also addresses that in chapter 7, verse 19. It says, they will throw their silver into the streets, and their gold will be like refuse. Their silver and gold will not be able to deliver them in the day of wrath.
Wow.
This isn't going to satisfy their soul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they thought, we got silver, we got gold.
Mm-hmm.
But on this day of wrath, they're going to throw their silver and gold in the streets.
And what do you hear today?
Like it's garbage.
Yeah. What do you hear a lot of today? Safe haven. Invest in gold. Safe haven.
Yeah. And, you know, the whole thing is when the judgment comes, whether you got $5 million in the bank or $50 in the bank, none of that's going to going to help you get through it.
No, it's not.
And these people who at this time had a pretty thriving economy and they were doing real well and they had this beautiful temple and they had all this beautiful stuff and they had kings, they had a beautiful palace, and none of that was going to save them from the judgment because they had gone astray.
Right.
There was idolatry in the land. And God says, I'm going to bring the worst of the Gentiles. They're going to defile your holy places, his holy places. Mm-hmm. God's going to let his holy place be defiled as a judgment. Mm-hmm. This is very serious stuff for, you know, if you're listening out there and you say, well, my God would never do that. Well, guess what? He destroyed his own holy place in order to teach the people a lesson.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of, I think, thinking and mindset that God won't do that. Oh, well, God loves everybody. Mm-hmm. God sent his only son to be the mediation of our sin.
Right.
The expiation of our sin. Mm-hmm. The atonement for our sin. And I cannot continually walk or say that I'm walking with God and sin against him and not suffer any type of consequence or punishment for that sin.
Exactly.
Because God will chasten those who he loves.
Yes, exactly. And we talked about that.
He will correct.
Yeah, we talked about that a few shows ago about disciplining.
And even some people don't like to hear about discipline.
Yes.
Certainly God wouldn't do that.
Right. Well, you see what he did here. Mm-hmm. He had Gentiles destroy his holy place.
Yeah.
And the people were killed. They were thrown down in front of their idols.
Mm-hmm.
Now you say, well, idols, we don't have idols. Well, we do have idols.
Right.
Maybe some of these people had actual idols that were actual forms of something.
Right.
We have other idols. You know, you think your house is so great? Guess what? Your house may be gone when the judgment comes. You think your car is so great? Well, you know what? Your car is going to be gone when the judgment comes.
Mm-hmm.
You think controlling your cholesterol is the most important thing? Well, guess what? You're not going to care what your cholesterol is when the judgment comes.
Yeah.
You know, these people are going to throw their silver and gold in the streets.
Yeah.
You know, in the book of Revelation, when the judgment comes on Babylon, they're going to say like, wow, in one day, all our wealth was destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like, you're going to put your faith in things that are going to be destroyed.
Right.
And they're not going to get you through the judgment.
A warrior's vain hope is the safety of the horse.
Yes.
Despite its power exactly. to not save. Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, the idolatry that we have is different than the idolatry they had.
But
because we worship other things.
Right.
Hardly anybody I know worships some statue of some weird god.
Yeah, I don't.
But I don't know anybody, actually. I mean, there may be some new age people that, you know, kind of do that thing. But,
None that I know of.
You might go out and pray at the moon or something, but it's not that many people that have like a temple to Jupiter in their backyard or, you know, anything like that. Like these guys would have known about. And, you know, God takes Ezekiel. Now, remember, Ezekiel's in Babylon. He's gone in the first wave of exile.
Mm-hmm.
But he's seeing all this in the spirit.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to understand that the spirit's come on him and has opened his mind and eyes to these things.
Yeah.
So God shows him all the abominations of the city, what the priests are doing, wrong. You know, the things going on in the temple that's not supposed to be going on in the temple, the worship, the idolatry, the falling away from what they're supposed to be doing. And he shows them that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he says, these people, even the priests, have fallen away. And while he's looking at this, he sees a vision. Now, he's in Babylon, but he sees a vision of the glory, the Shekinah, leaving the temple. It goes out, this is in chapter 11, it goes out through the eastern gate and goes to the Mount of Olives. Mm. Now, is that cool or what?
Wow.
And then it's never seen again. No one has seen the Shekinah glory again.
Wow.
And Ezekiel saw that as a vision that left the temple. So remember the Shekinah, for those of you that took my Torah course, don't need a review, but the Shekinah was actually the physical presence of God.
Yeah.
Cloud by day, fire by night. And sometimes it was in the temple. When they were in the wilderness, they saw it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But Ezekiel sees it leave the temple.
Yeah.
So he knows this is it.
Uh-oh.
The glory's gone. And so now he knows that the destruction is finally going to come.
Mm.
And just like Jesus leaves the city through the Eastern Gate, goes to the Mount of Olives, and ascends into heaven, same thing happens with the Shekinah, who, of course, was Jesus.
Yeah.
Whew.
Wow.
Wow, second break already. This is Gift of Grace on Word 1220. We'll be back in just a minute.
And behind the veil of what is seen, the natural eye, a great event is being prepared. A war and a wedding feast will have their place in time. Soon and not yet is the word that the watchman gives as he strains his eyes through the darkness of the night mist. He can sense that just beyond the horizon, a great brightness is preparing to break forth. Arise, you sleepers! Shake off your slumber, he calls. Come and fill your lamp with fresh oil. Trim your wick. Cry out in the streets and do not let your voice be silent. For the coming of the great King is at hand. Arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Only wait for the Lord. Be strong and of a good courage. And wait for the Lord. Placed a watchman on your walls, O Jerusalem. They will not be silent day or night of the Lord. They make constant mention. They will give no sleep to their eyes until God establishes grace. There will be no peace in their nights until the Lord makes Jerusalem a praise. He has sworn it by his strength.
If you lift up your voices and call on the Lord, he will come. And the nations will see that salvation comes from Zion. The anointing of God has begun. Oh, blind eyes will see as the captives go free. If you lift up your voices, he'll
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Before we finish Ezekiel, I just want to say another word about Love, Inc., Love in the Name of Christ. They will be having a fundraising banquet on September 29th, 2012, which is a Saturday, September 29th at 6 p.m. at Old Oak Bible Church, which is at 7575 Old Oak Boulevard in Middleburg Heights. That's right by Southwest General Hospital. And the guest speaker is going to be Bill Martin from Fox 8 News. And if you'd like to attend that, and I would strongly urge you to come, especially if you're a pastor or someone, anyone who is interested in really helping the poor as Jesus taught us to do, you can RSVP at 216-459-0309. That's 216-459-0309. And we'll talk about that a little bit more on next week's show. An excellent, excellent ministry. So we only have about, 7 or 8 minutes left. Mm-hmm. So we got to see what happens to Ezekiel here. Anyway, since we're talking about how these things apply also to our time, We're going to have Stephen read Ezekiel chapter 14, verses 12 to 14.
Okay. Thus the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, when a land sins against me by breaking faith, I stretch out my hand against it and break its staff of bread. I let famine loose upon it and cut off from it both man and beast. And even if these three men were in it, Noah, Daniel, and Job, they could save only themselves by their virtue, says the Lord God.
Whew. So if he's going to destroy a land,
wow!
If Noah, Daniel, and Job were there, they'd be saved, but everybody else would be gone. So, you know, I think this is another kind of reference to the remnant. You know, there's a remnant of people there mm-hmm. that are doing what they're supposed to be doing. But the main thing with this is when a land sins by persistent unfaithfulness, mm-hmm. persistent. It's not make a mistake here and there.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing thing.
Yeah.
Then he's going to stretch out his hand against it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be famine. There's going to be destruction. It says he's even going to cut off the bread.
Right.
Now, we've never experienced famine in this country.
No.
But, I mean, I don't even think we can imagine having a famine.
Yeah. Yeah, even I was even talking to a pastor last week, and they, you know, they'd gone to Africa to do some ministry work, and, you know, they were telling me that, you know, we say that we have poor people here.
Yeah.
But, you know, they were telling me, like, to what the poor is in Africa.
Yeah.
Where you don't, I mean, you don't even have a house. You right. have a dirt floor and maybe a cardboard box yeah. that you can live in. And yeah. you don't have food.
Yeah.
There's no government, you know, there's no handouts or soup kitchens for them to go to. That's poverty.
Yeah.
And
many of our, most of our poor people have cell phones and a house. And
yeah. And you know, to talk about pestilence and famine, I don't think we can even imagine it.
No. But he says, you know, God says through Ezekiel that when there's persistent unfaithfulness, what does that mean? I don't even want to find out.
Yeah.
But I'm afraid we're seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
We're, you know, as a nation, as a culture, and it's not just America, you know, you yeah. can apply it. But we're moving further and further away.
Yeah.
And, you know, last week we talked about you can have national repentance
mm-hmm.
if we go to 2 Chronicles 7:14, where we fall on our knees, we pray, we repent, he hears us from heaven, the land is healed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, personally, I've been talking to some pastors about this, and if you're listening and you want to somehow get involved in this, that would be awesome. But especially in our country, as we approach an election, mm-hmm. is a perfect time to fall on our knees and pray for the nation,
right.
to pray for guidance, pray for repentance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we that are in the remnant of believers, you know, we will repent when we sin.
Yeah.
But the general population isn't going to repent when they sin right. because they don't even realize that they're sinning.
Right.
And there's a persistent unfaithfulness going on.
Yeah. And you bring up a good point, because a lot of times we think, oh gosh, I'm only one person, what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
The heartfelt prayer, the conviction of one's heart
yes.
to God is a lot.
Yes.
And he can do a lot with that.
Exactly.
So if you're one person and you're called by God, and you may not think that you have much you can do, but
mm-hmm.
you know, if one person gets on their knees, myself, and I repent and I turn and I say, Lord, I've sinned against you, against heaven and earth and against you, and I repent of my sins, I'm going to turn from that way, God's going to hear that prayer.
Yeah, exactly.
And God's favor is going to, you know, God's blessing is going to come to that person or to me or to you or whoever's praying, because God wants to bless us. Exactly. He loves us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what, you know, there's so much other stuff in Ezekiel.
But
we can't do the whole book of Ezekiel in one sitting.
We only have a few minutes.
Yeah,
we can do it.
But, you know, down in chapter 22 at verse 4, he says, you have become guilty by the blood which you have shed, and you have defiled yourself with the idols which you have made.
Yeah.
What a strong condemnation. You shed blood. You know, we have had 50 million abortions since Roe versus Wade.
Mm-hmm.
A little over 50 now. It was 50 yeah. some time ago. Over 50 million abortions since yeah. 1973.
Yeah.
We've made all these idols for ourselves that we're talking about. And we sit home at night, relaxing on the couch, going, well, what can we do? Well, what can we do? Now, if Ezekiel would have sat back and said, well, what can I do? Hey, if those Israelites want to do that, hey, it's our problem. Yeah. God says, hey, if you don't warn them, you're part of the problem. You got to warn them of what's coming. And he says here, they've become guilty by the blood that they've shed, and they've been defiled by idols that they've made.
Yeah.
And boy, we have made plenty of idols.
Yeah, if you look at Ezekiel 22 through, you know, chapters or verses 23 through like 29, it's very sobering.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then we know what happened. The Babylonians sent a bigger force. They besieged the city. They took the king and some of his advisors out, the king's sons out. They took them out of the city. They killed the king's sons in front of the king, and then they took his eyes out. Mm-hmm. So that the last thing the guy saw was his sons being killed. Then they put him in chains and took him to Babylon. Mm-hmm. So when the king says to a prophet, hey, listen, can you just shut up? Can you just like tell me some good news? And I don't want to hear all this. He ended up not only being chained and taken to Babylon, but his eyes being taken out,
yeah,
and his family being killed. I mean, this is a horrible, horrible punishment because mm-hmm. the land now was defiled,
yeah,
and the city was destroyed. Read Lamentations. The temple was destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the first destruction. This was, of course, Solomon's temple being destroyed, which was one of the most beautiful places on earth.
Yeah.
People went from all over the world to see Solomon's temple,
mm-hmm.
and God destroyed it,
yeah,
through the Babylonians.
Right.
So these are sobering things to think about.
Yeah.
Oh. Wow.
We're at the end of another show.
End of another show. I can't believe it. Wow. Well, I hope you've all had an awesome Lord's Day. We'll be back next week.
And we just ask that those of you who are called by God's name to pray and ask for the healing of our nation and our hearts. God bless everyone. Have a good week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.